Hello and welcome to All the Horrible Things with Chris and Enan. On episode 76, we will be discussing Five Nights at Freddy, currently in theaters, as well as streaming on Peacock.
Peacock.
Did you go to the theater or did you watch it on Peacock?
I watched it on Peacock and I'm not upset about it.
So there's nothing here you felt like would have been more enjoyable had you seen it in the theater?
I don't know. I mean, it's always hard to say that. I mean, because I think anything on the big screen enhances your overall experience. I don't know if I would have gotten anyone to go with me to see this one, though. Fair. I'll tell you that much.
Well, I guess for me, is there was probably enough jump scares to see it that opening weekend with all like the 15 to 22 year old dudes who absolutely adore this series and just like feel yeah. that palpable excitement for something that they've been waiting for since 2012 or 2014, rather, when the game came out.
Yeah.
Initially. But you're right. I don't think visually speaking, it was anything that needed to be seen on the big screen. That being said, I really enjoyed it.
I saw someone leave like the best comment because I didn't dislike this movie. I think I was expecting a little bit more, but I saw someone say that this was an excellent gateway film for younger people to get into horror. And I completely agree with that. I think this was a really fun, not over the top as far as gore goes, but had a nice story. Fun performances. I am a fan of Josh Hutcherson. I think he is very
great. I want to see him in more. 100%. He's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what I was most surprised about this movie? The director. The director is Emma Tammy and directed a movie that you really liked from either earlier this year or last year that I still never saw called The Wind.
I did like The Wind. Yeah, that's very interesting because they're so starkly different. One being set in the West, I think it was the West.
Like the Plains, the Great Plains.
The Great Plains are in settling times. And then you have essentially Chuck E. Cheese, Freddy Fazbear's here. But she's really good at tone. And here's my big defense, because while you might have expected more, I expected less. I expected a lot less because I played the game on VR. It was the first time I played it only a few years ago, and I thought I was playing like a newer version, but I guess I got a version that has multiple versions in it. So I was literally playing the first game, Five Nights at Freddy 1, despite having thought it was a more advanced game. And it was the scariest game I'd ever played. Honest to goodness. And it's such a basic game. It baffles me how well the mood, the ambience, and the sound of this game and the paranoia that it instills in you translated enough for me into the movie, more than I thought it possibly could because of the experience, especially in the VR, of being there, sitting where Josh Hutcherson, Mike Schmidt, sits at the security council. And ultimately, you have a camera on all of the animatronics and one little special one there for Foxy doing her own little stage over there. And it's all about timing, and you have to anticipate where they are in the building before they get too close that they run in and turn you into one of them. But it's just ultimately about turning on lights at a certain time or shutting doors at a certain time. It's so basic, but at the same time,
it's fun.
When I first got the VR headset back in 2020, I think I got it pretty soon after that. I played it a couple times, and it scared me to the point that I didn't play it for well over a year. And when this was coming out, like about a week or two before it came out, I revisited it. I like got through parts that was impossible for me before. I feel like I wasn't as scared, but because I knew what was coming a little bit more. But anyways, what I'm trying to say is it was a great game and I thought it was a good movie.
Okay. Yeah. Here's what I think I was expecting. And a lot of people have come out and said, well, that was a ripoff of this. And I'm talking about Willy's Wonderland, where Nicolas Cage is basically the Mike character in this. And this came out about 2 years ago now. And everyone was saying how fun it was, but they were expecting and waiting for Five Nights at Freddy's. And I think I just had so much fun with that one. I just expected this to be more fun. I thought the animatronics looked great. I think the production value was great. I just think it may have been geared towards a younger audience. And that's
on me. I find that really fascinating because I like Willy's Wonderland as well. And you're absolutely right. It's 1,000 times more fun and camp. This is, I think it's psychological horror. And I actually think there's a lot going on beneath this. I know you mentioned you thought the story is pretty good. There's issues I have with just continually going back to his dream state.
Yeah. Yep.
But if I started doing some little research on the lore and stuff, there's this big theory, the dream theory of all the Freddy games, because there's over 9 games in just the singular series, not even including spinoffs. And it came out in 2014. Right. So they churned them out. And the lore of this game and who is doing what and when is like a very big part of why it became popular at first. That as well as the, like people who do YouTube plays. It was one of the first games to really get like YouTube play, you know, watchers. But what I'm trying to say is that it was meant to be more about, I feel, like grooming, like even though you're saying on the surface it's for younger kids, when you think about what's actually going on here, you have Matthew Lillard's character, who is Afton is his name, I think.
Yeah,
William Afton, right. Who's the big bad of like the games. He grooms the children by being this bunny for them because he plays the Springtrap yellow bunny in it. And, you know, pulls them in and then ultimately kills them. I don't know. I worry more is going on than that. But the fact that he then would jam them into the animatronics so that people wouldn't find the bodies is so weird. And the lore in terms of, are these ghosts or what? But to bring it all back, dream theory that is predominant in the mythos of this is that everything that's happening here at Freddy Fazbear's is in a dream. Like, we have Josh Hutcherson go into his dream to talk to the kids who were murdered and kidnapped, trying to resolve what happened to his brother. And part of dream theory is everything you've experienced is in your head, and there is the capacity to tap into it if you know how, sort of thing.
Okay.
So I felt like it was doing way more than it had to do. I was ready for it to be more like Willy's Wonderland and a little more campy and fun, but I felt like I got depths that I wasn't expecting from it.
That makes a lot of sense. And that's just me not knowing, you know, the lore. And I would definitely watch it again knowing that and maybe doing a little bit more research on my own or probably even playing the game. I think it was probably very fan serving to that. And I never had the opportunity to play it, especially with the VR. So I think it probably was made for a very specific audience, and I need to be that audience now.
Exactly. And that being said, it's not that specific an audience, because even though it was released on Peacock, it's still over $100 million right now.
It's crushing.
It won its weekend, the 2 weekends in a row. The one caveat to that was, it made way more than it thought it was going to make that first weekend, but then it dropped 76% on its second weekend. Still was number one that weekend, but the 76% drop from weekend 1 to 2 is the biggest of any film ever. That's kind of a weird statistic. I
that is very weird.
That does point to your, it's made for a very specific audience.
Yeah.
But it's a big audience. If you're making over 100 million, you're definitely making more of these movies.
You are. This was a success. Yes.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask you about William Afton's motives, right? So Matthew Lillard's motives. I understand. Okay, so he's this creepy kid killer. Let's just leave it at that. He's just a kid killer. Why then is he killing security guards? Why is he killing, you know, men that in their 20s? Let's start at the top of the movie. We have the security guard in the seat with this bear mask that has blades and such. It's going to affixed to him very viscerally, carnally. But why? Because they're just killing him, right? In the game, the idea is you're going to be turned into one. But in this film, it would seem that they were just killing that security guard. And it's unclear whether or not these are the kids doing it, or if it's William Afton controlling the animatronics, even though the kids also embody the animatronics.
Right, right.
My issue is why kill adults? Why have this roundhouse of security guards getting
murdered? He's actively filling that role. I mean, he finds these people and he's like, and he's going after people like down on their luck who are desperate for it. So I don't know. I don't think that was clear enough for me, unless you do have an answer, but
I don't. And one of the other things that I'm wondering is, because I got the sense that when the animatronic's eyes went red, that's when Matthew mm-hmm. Lillard's character was controlling them. But they still do horrible things when it's not red, too. So the kids themselves are little murderous fuck faces, too. I mean, granted, they have dealt with such trauma and... But
I
found it. What's the point? I don't know. I don't know. I got a little confused on that. I did want to mention really quick, though, where this whole concept even came from. Apparently, the maker of the game initially, Cawthorn, he made this game that kind of failed, that was about a beaver. And all the comments he got said that the beaver looked really, really scary. And we didn't mean it to look scary. So it kind of gave him the concept of, oh, shit, well, maybe we can take these things the kids are supposed to love and demonize them. Actually, that's something I wanted to ask you about. We did not have a Freddy Fazbear's growing up in the Western burbs as we did. Where did you go?
Similar experience. Yeah, to go way back, it was Showbiz, and then Chuck E. Cheese bought Showbiz. But aside from that, I think you and I probably both went to Enchanted Castle.
Enchanted Castle, baby! Yes!
And that was probably the extent of it as far as themes. I mean, I know there was like the Discovery Zones that eventually opened up, but I think we were a little too old for that maybe. But
barely. But I wish I wasn't, because they had crazy ball pits there, I remember.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, Enchanted Castle was kind of an interesting place. I think it's still there in Lombard.
It is, but it is.
It's a different theme. It still has animatronics as well, but it goes with kind of like the fantasy theme. So you have a big dragon, you got a wizard, you got like this lizard person. I think it's a big, big donkey. Even this was before Shrek. It's an anthropomorphic donkey. And then you got one human. You got one like animatronic girl princess playing the piano. Really weird. I just looked that up. It was so funny. I watched a clip on YouTube and all the animatronics are singing their song. And there's one kid that goes, boo!
The best.
I loved that. But yeah, Chuck E. Cheese, I always felt like was second rate compared to Enchanted Castle. They just had so much there. It was.
Well, I liked Showbiz before Chuck E. Cheese. Showbiz was good. Where you had this the bear. The main character was this fun bear. And then like this little mouse comes in and steals everything.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly what happened. Chuck E. Cheese bought Showbiz Pizza. And I think that was kind of like one of the very firsts. I want to talk about development of this, too. Apparently, I know you mentioned us liking this director. I do, because I'd seen The Wind. Initially, it had Chris Columbus attached to write and direct it. Because this has been in development hell for quite some time, apparently. And it did shoot New Orleans, like a lot of things had around the pandemic time. But then also, after Chris Columbus, it was supposed to be Gil Keenan, who did Monster House, and more significantly for me, Ghostbusters, the new Ghostbusters, and he's doing the next Ghostbusters Afterlife. So that would have been interesting, too. I wonder if that would have been a more fun version, because when I'm looking at Emma Tammy and I'm thinking about The Wind, that was a very serious movie, and it makes sense why the sensibility of this one went more
I'm still trying to wrap my brain around Chris Columbus directing this.
Can you imagine? Because he had to know it was going to be a big payday. I mean, this is going to make a lot of movies, I think. There's over 10 games. There's a lot of characters in lore that haven't even been tapped into. There's so many Easter eggs in it of characters that pop up later.
Sure. But at the end of the day, to me, this goes way against what Blumhouse would do. Blumhouse is not known for going after big directors like Chris Columbus and doing their small budget films. It doesn't feel like it's part of the formula. So that would have been interesting as far as goes. That was before Blumhouse got the rights to it. I don't know.
You know, I'm not sure yet on the timeline on that one. But I did want to talk also, Jim Henson was part of making these characters. I want to talk about the animatronics themselves.
That's cool.
Because I'd met them prior in the game. And I got to say, in the game, The chicken is the scariest by far. The Chica, the yellow chicken, is so scary. I don't know. Anytime you see her on the monitor, for me, the bunny less so, Indigo, the rabbit. But that yellow chicken Chica, ooh, and the cupcake, which in the first game, she doesn't have the cupcake. I guess that does become part of her accoutrement. But in the first game, that cupcake is kind of just sitting on one of your PC towers in front of you. It's just like there, you pick it up and like toss it around and stuff. But yeah, I'm wondering, is there pieces of the kids in the cupcake?
That is,
because there was five kids and there's only four animatronics. So are they all blended up and they're all in all of them? And they can, I think they can jump from one to one because we see the little blonde ghost kid move from one to another. Don't they?
Yes.
So yeah, maybe they can do that. And then vessels. Foxy in the game is not physically the scariest, but his gameplay is. He's the one who will just run out of nowhere. You'll have like 3 seconds to shut the door versus you get a little leeway time with the other guys. But he's always alone and he's always running. And that's why his scene in this one where he does take out the boyfriend of the babysitter who's trying to sabotage Mike so that Mike's aunt can steal Mike's sister. He's trying to like bang, get out of the door slams against him. He's trying to get out that exit, but it doesn't work. I'm assuming because they can control the locks. But you always hear the bang, bang, bang when Foxy's in the game. And you hear that when we deal with Foxy for the first time. I just thought it really was paying service to what goes on in the game as well as fan lore.
Huh.
Did you find that intimidating at all? It's pretty fun.
Does sound fun.
Freddy himself, who doesn't really, he only comes out like in the last round, Freddy. Otherwise, he stays on the stage himself. And it's the bunny and the chicken that really do most of the moving around. But there is an Easter egg where you see a golden Fazbear. Did you realize when Freddy goes and takes Abby away, kills Mary Stuart Masterson, the aunt? It was so fun seeing her too, by the way.
Yes.
Enough of her. That was a different Freddy. That wasn't the Freddy that's in the building that's bluish, grayish. This Freddy was gold. So it was like a different Freddy, or like Freddy in a different mode, or maybe like all the kids are in it. It's unclear what gold Freddy means, but apparently I haven't dealt with him in the game I've played, but he shows up really sporadically and he's really hard to catch on the camera. So I find it weird that he's the only one that has left the Freddy Fazbear's establishment. You know,
right.
He's the only one that goes out into the real world. And there's that great moment in the cab where he gets in the cab with Abby.
Yeah.
And apparently that cab driver is one of the first YouTubers that really made watching Freddy big. There's YouTubers in it that were really instrumental in getting the game to take off. And one of them was the cab driver. And the other one, who was it? Oh, yeah, Matt Pat. He's somebody who really developed lore, too. He was in the hospital scene and then the cab driver. So, yeah, I love that they pay so much homage.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say, is that I think this would be a very different movie if I had played the games and, like, where I'm able to, like, notice different color Freddy Fazbear's. And I love that. I love that. That makes me definitely rethink this whole process of how they made this film.
I like the questions that it like leads to, because you don't, it's called on Wikipedia a supernatural horror, which I can't really, I thought that was kind of a unique way to put it, because I don't know if these kids are ghosts, you know what I mean? I don't know what is going on with the evil entities and how the suits work. I don't know what's going on with that. And I want to know, I want to get a little more, but at the same time, just not knowing is kind of fun too. But I do have some questions that I was hoping you can help. What happened to Mike's parents? Is it ever overtly stated in the movie? Because Mike is watching his sister, Abby, after his brother was kidnapped. He watched that happen. And his parents are just inexplicably not in the picture.
No, I don't think they do say that. And that's a major, I want to rewatch it just for that now, because that's an excellent point. The aunt is around.
Right.
The parents are gone. The parents have had to have died if he has custody of. So we.
Because right at the beginning, he wakes up when he's older and there's the girl. And immediately people are going to think, oh, that's his daughter. But no, it's his sister, which is very strange. I did a little digging online And apparently at some point it is stated that his mother's died of unknown causes. And then likely after that, his father had committed suicide. I don't remember that scene. Maybe that is revealed later sort of thing, because there are characters of note, I think, pop up later, including Matthew Lillard's wife. So Mrs. Afton, you know, the mother and father of our cop character, who apparently is pretty complicit, because how many security guards has she seen get ground up? Does she stop in all the time? How does that work?
I don't know.
She's not a great character. She,
no, there
I'm
needs
glad
to be
she's
more
in a coma
like...
at the end. And what happened? Okay, yeah, what happens? So we don't know what happens to that original security guard. They're killing them for why? And then when the people do break in, we find their bodies in suits for like a dog and something. Why are they putting them in the suits if they're not going to come back alive? There's questions like that that were really bothering me.
I wish I had some answers.
What do you think of the kills?
I think the kills were fun. I mean, I think that when you put this movie on and you see the opening sequence with the security guy with the blades coming at him into his face, without showing too much, I think you know that you're going to have fun. I think they did a really great job of stating that right out of the gate there. I am trying to race through my head now to think
okay,
of
so
some
you're right.
Of the other...
Security guard's the first one. And then we have the kids that break in. The babysitter, her boyfriend, and their friend.
Yes, those kids had it coming.
That goes down first. Cupcake face. The cupcake nibbles on his face to death. Which was fun, because when he turned around and saw that chicken, that's like nightmares for me. That chicken has spooked me for a couple years now. So that one got me. And then Indigo is in the closet with somebody, and we don't explicitly see how the bunny kills the dude in the closet.
Yeah, right? I think they probably could have taken things a little bit further. Like, I mean, things are implied in this movie, but you could probably show a little bit more.
I agree with you there.
They could have.
I was bummed to find out, because Megan did the same thing, PG-13, but then they released an R. They're not doing that with this one. What we got is what we got. The most grisly one probably was then the babysitter who gets chomped in half when we see the bottom half of her just drop from Freddy's mouth. And that's the first time we get an idea of the kid being inside of it, because you see the arm pop out and then he obviously gets chomped. She gets chomped in two. I think that's all the kills, except then for at the end. When with you have Matthew Lillard doing his... did you catch the little Easter egg with his scream while cleaning off the knife? The Ghostface always cleans off the knife, and he did that as a big bunny.
That was for us.
Happy.
It was for us.
I loved it.
I just loved that he was in this. I loved the first time you see Matthew Lillard behind the desk, and you're like, yep.
I know. That's what we needed in horror. Get that man back in horror, damn it.
Yes.
One of the things I just want to mention, I really thought Mike's character was pretty decently developed. You see stuff like Leprazolam sitting there on his bed nightstand, and he is dealing with sleeping issues, and that's a sleeping aid and also a hypnotic. And then with a combination of him reading this dream theory book, it's just all this, is this the real reality sort of situation, which I appreciated. Unsung hero, Doug the lawyer, who is the aunt's lawyer, who is so awkward and fun. I love this guy. He was a blast. I'm never going back into the ball pits after this, though. I loved ball pits. And I think hunting Abby.
Yeah. I think my fear was people peeing in there.
That's the point.
So I think I stopped after that. But this definitely doesn't help other children.
It's probably like all sorts of things in there. But they like when they're singing their normal song, when they're just animatronics and not crazy maniacal machines, they're singing the Romantics talking in your sleep, which is fun.
I thought the soundtrack was good.
It's on point when it comes to that. And I don't know. There's so many Easter eggs too. It's not like worth going through if you don't even know it. But I guess the most significant one is in the games, there is that wall of kids' pictures, right? Of the kids' drawings when they go there. And that certainly leads to Matthew Lillard going down when they point out, hey, look at that one picture. That shows what happened to you, kids. But that is actually in the game. And it's like this weird area, I guess, that people just kind of like obsess over, and there's a lot of like post forums about what's going on in the game, and for it to have such a central role in the plot of this movie, I thought was great.
That's cool. That's clever.
I, like I said, expected less than I got. Even that opening 8-bit video game intro theme was so fun, and it told the story of what happened to the kids. I didn't kind of realize it the first time, but it was the yellow bunny. Springtrap is, of course, the name of the bunny. Springtrap taking those 5 kids from Freddy Fazbear's, you know, getting them there. Yeah. I dug it.
No, I mean, you've certainly opened my eyes. I mean, there was just, you know, and I clearly can see why a lot of people, even people who have reviewed this film, who aren't loving it, it makes sense that they're just necessarily wasn't made for them, or they just didn't understand the lore. And I'm glad now that I know that.
Yeah.
I'm
looking forward to future incarnations. I really am. I hope Hutcherson stays on board.
Yeah, I think you'll see more.
I want to know what happened to his parents. I want to know what's going on with Matthew Lillard's wife. And one of the spinoffs is called The Sister Location. So my bet is it's going to be a different Freddy's.
Yep.
Maybe instead of that exact one. I don't know. We'll see. I'm looking forward to it, nevertheless. But
yeah,
good for Peacock. They got a big title there.
Yeah. Yeah. That was unexpected, you know, like that movie I thought could have done well. I mean, it did on its own just at the movie theater. I wonder how much more they would have made if people didn't have the ability to watch it at home.
I would have seen it in the theater if they didn't put it on Peacock. That was
I think I would. I would have ended up seeing it. Yeah. Well, very good.
Well, there you have it. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening. Be sure to like, share, and subscribe, and send us fan letters through snail mail. And until then, stay alive.